Hey there, welcome to Following the Truth. Today is Monday, it's July the 27th. I'm Gary Zimak, and I'm glad to have you along with me for the next 30 minutes. We're going to be talking about something a little different. Tell me if you ever heard this before. We all know what it's like to praise God when things are going good. You know, something turns out great in our lives, and we say, praise you, Lord, you are great, praise God. It's a common expression. How about this? How about praising God through complaining? Yes, I said that right. Praising God through complaining. We're going to talk about that today. And oddly enough, no, it's something you don't normally think about, but oddly enough, our source for this praising God by complaining is going to be the book of Psalms. And I read something today, and a few things happened over the weekend, specifically last night, that really made me think about this. Can we praise God by complaining? And I think we absolutely can. And there are going to be times when we are definitely going to be enduring suffering. And I happen to be going through one of those times right now. I'm going to share it with you in the hopes that it's going to register with you. You know, I always like to believe that if I'm going through something, there's a good chance you are as well. And I'll always run that risk, of being transparent, letting you know what I'm going through in the hope of helping you. So that's it. Today we're going to talk about praising God by complaining. Okay, now, let's see. I want to tell you something about tomorrow. Before I do that, let's kick the show off with prayer. And then I want to let you know about something I plan to do on tomorrow's show. Unless, of course, the Holy Spirit shows up and takes me in a different direction. But I really want to try to do this tomorrow because I think it's going to be a good thing. So let's pray now. Let's turn to our Father in heaven and recognize that He is with us, recognize that He is all good, that He's all loving, that He is all knowing, and that He's bigger than any problem that you and me could ever face. With that in mind, we turn to Him in prayer. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for being here, first of all. Thank you for being so powerful. Thank you for creating the entire universe and keeping it operating. And it's hard to imagine. We get out, we wake up in the morning, we look outside, we see the street, we see houses, we see cars, we see the sky and the sun, and we just take it for granted that it's always been there or that it will always be there. But Father, everything that exists today was created by you out of nothing. You either completely did it yourself, or you created the materials that, and then allowed us to create from existing materials. You're the only one, however, who creates something from nothing. And Father, we praise you for that. You are unbelievably powerful. You are unbelievably loving. You are an incredible God, and you're our Father. Thank you for always being available for us. And we turn to you now, Father, and we ask you to bless us this day. Give us what we need, not necessarily what we want, but what we need. Grant us the strength to follow you, to remain hopeful in a very challenging period in history, to look forward to living with you one day in heaven, which is really ultimately our destiny. This world's not the end of the line for us. So we pray for that ability, that hope to look forward expectantly to a future lived with you. And we realize also that future, that life with you, begins in this world. Father, we pray for an end to the coronavirus. We pray for anybody who is suffering from the virus. We pray for a greater awareness of you. We pray that your people will turn back to you and listen to you, that more focus will be on you in the world than on pleasure and other false gods. And I pray, Father, for a special outpouring of the Spirit, that you'll use me as your instrument on the program today, that you will give me the words, and that you'll open all of our minds and all of our hearts to hear what you have to say and be willing to put it into action. Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Well, thank you for praying with me. Again, I'm Gary Zimek. This is Following the Truth. You know, as I was praying that opening prayer, I mean, this is crazy. Now, today, yeah, you may know that I live in the Philadelphia area. I actually live in South Jersey, about five, six miles outside of the Philadelphia city itself. Well, the Phillies are playing the Marlins, and watching baseball without people in the stands, it's kind of a bizarre experience, but it's good to have it back. My wife and I were saying it's good to have baseball back. Put it on in the background. It makes you feel like things are somewhat normal. But now the news is that 14 of the Marlins who came to, I think it was 14 at the last count, they tested positive for COVID-19, so they can't leave. The ones that tested positive can't leave town. And the Phillies and the Yankees series was canceled because the visiting clubhouse has to be disinfected. Now, who the heck knows where we go from here with baseball? But, you know, let's be honest. This story gets crazier and crazier every day, doesn't it? Now, I don't spend a lot of time watching the news, but I keep informed. I just take a glance at what's going on so I know what I'm dealing with. I know God doesn't change. I know He's in charge. I know He's in control. And for the most part, I'm pretty peaceful. But I'll be honest, man, things are really crazy. You know, you expect, and I was thinking of this last night. You wake up, you expect the sun to rise in the morning, right? We expect things to be the way they are. After what we're seeing now, I mean, all bets are off, right? But this is an important thing. Like, we're seeing things we never expected we would see. But it's okay. Relax. God's in control. He's got this. And ultimately, what He's doing is he wants us to focus on Him. He wants to get our attention. I mean, He shut down sports. Can you imagine shutting down sports? It's incredible what has been happening. And look, you can't control what other people do. All you can do is make sure you're getting the message and you're learning what He wants you to learn from this very unusual point in time. And, you know, feel honored, by the way, because He chose you to be alive during a very crazy time in world history. I mean, this is just wacky, but He wants us to be alive. So let's not disappoint Him. Let's ask for His help and we move forward. But what you can do is learn the lesson you're supposed to learn. You know, maybe you, like me, took things for granted that you shouldn't have. And the Lord is teaching me that. He's teaching me other things too. We'll talk about some of them on the show today. But we can only do what we can do. I can't be responsible for other people turning to God. Now, I can talk to them about Him, put in a good word for Him, be a good evangelist. I can do that, and I think we all need to do that because people are hurting right now, and people need that peace that can only come, the lasting peace that can only come from a relationship with Jesus Christ. They need that. You don't have to know the Catechism of the Catholic Church or the Bible inside and out. You just do the best you can. You share a story or two. You tell somebody you're praying for them. You try to be positive. But, you know, we got to make sure we're strong ourselves. We got to make sure we're good with God. I'm not going to read it, but the first reading today from Daily Mass kind of got me. When it's from Jeremiah, and God talks about the fact that He is as close to His people. Well, let me just tell you what it says. For as close as the loincloth clings to a man's loins. That's like underwear, you know, that's like pretty close. So had I made the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah cling to Me, says the Lord, to be My people, My renown, My praise, My beauty. In other words, He wanted the people, the chosen people, to be that close to Him. He doesn't want to be a distant God. He wants to be a close God. But they did not listen. Did you hear that? They did not listen. And then the responsorial psalm from today's Mass is from Deuteronomy chapter 32. You have forgotten God who gave you birth. And you know what? So many of us need to take another look at this and realize that, yeah, we've forgotten Him. We've forgotten Him. Technically, yeah, no, we didn't forget Him, but maybe we shut Him out. Maybe sports became too important to us. Maybe money became too important. Maybe movies became too important. Maybe going out to the bar became too important. You know, and we neglected Him. Even though we go to church, if we go to church, we sometimes think, well, that's good enough. Well, it's not good enough. We've got to do more than that. We just don't want to forget Him. And for each of us, that's going to be different. So today, let's really make it a point to turn to Him And that doesn't mean you have to deny your suffering. It doesn't mean you have to deny the fact that these are difficult times and you might be really struggling. And that's going to be the theme for today. But I think that is the clear message that we all should get from these times. Let's not waste this opportunity to really make the Lord the center of our lives, because we're never going to get a chance like this again. I mean, at least I don't think we are. I hope not, because this is brutal. Each day it just gets crazier and crazier. But this is the chance for us to really recommit our lives to God and really say, God, you're number one. Please, through Jesus, lead me to you, and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Because this is a time for us to do that. So on the program, for the past couple of weeks, I've let you know, it's actually been several months, but I've shared with you my wife is struggling with anxiety from the whole COVID-19 pandemic. It's been brutal for her. It's hit her hard. She misses the way things are. And I'm sure you might be in the same boat. She misses family. She misses being able to go out and do things, go to stores without being afraid, turn on the news and not be overwhelmed with fear of what might happen. And again, look, let's face it, God is in control. He's still on the throne. He knows what he's doing. We don't understand fully everything that he does because he's God. We're not. We're never going to understand it. But it's easy to become panicked. Certain people have an easier time. You know my story. I'm somebody who has struggled with anxiety. I have that tendency to go worst case very easily. But fortunately, the Lord has worked with me, and he has helped me tremendously. And I'm in a pretty good place. But my wife is still working through that. And I would ask you to keep her in prayers, in your prayers. My wife, Eileen, she's tremendous with this whole thing. She's really grown closer to the Lord. She's fighting her way through this. She's turning to him. She's begging. She's pleading. She's trying to surrender. But, you know, sometimes your mind just starts racing, and no matter how much you pray, it can be overwhelming. Now, Eileen's having trouble sleeping right now. She was doing good for a while. Then for the past couple days, it started up again. Now, when she's awake, I'm awake for the most part. I do fall back asleep, but sometimes I wake up and I try to comfort her in whatever lame way that I can. You know, we'll pray together. We'll try to talk things through. But, you know, sometimes there's only so much you can say. And it gets frustrating. It gets frustrating because I'm hoping, this is Gary being really transparent with you right now. I'm hoping that the Lord really helps her, brings her along, because he's calling her to a deeper relationship with him. And so, you know, she hasn't been at this. I mean, she's always had a strong faith, but never at this level before. And I'm praying that she gets some relief sometime soon, so that she can move forward, because it's really hard. So last night, as I was awake, and this morning, you know, when you watch your wife struggling and you love her, it's not easy. And I trust the Father. I trust Jesus. I trust that the Holy Spirit is working in us. I trust all that. I mean, I do. That's a gift. That's not something I have done on my own. You know, intellectually, yes, I go through the steps. I've gone through the steps in the past. I've gone through the facts, the promises, and I realize, yeah, God loves me. He can take care of this. He can take care of anything. He loves me. Therefore, anything that happens, he is allowing to happen. It's somehow an expression of his love, even though he might not directly will it. Sometimes God allows evil or sickness to continue because he can bring a greater good out of it. And again, we're never going to figure all of this out. So last night I was a little frustrated, and I'm reading this book called Praise, A Way of Life. It's an out-of-print book by a Dominican priest, Father Paul Hinnebusch. And the chapter I was on today, very appropriately, is Praising God by Complaining. We've talked about this on the show before, the power of praise, learning to praise God in the storm. And what Father talks about in the book is the Psalms specifically. And he says, biblical man praises God even when he seems to be very far away, even when it seems that he has abandoned us to our misery. So look, this is a radical concept, but it is one that is life-changing. And I want to share it with you in case you are suffering, in case you're going through that right now, that feeling that God has abandoned you. There's nothing wrong with having that feeling. It's not a fact because God has not abandoned any of us. But there's times when we all feel like that. And you've heard me say it on the show before, feelings are not facts. They're just not. So Father goes on to talk about the idea of praising God by complaining, and some of the Psalms are considered to be Psalms of Lamentations, which are essentially Psalms of complaining. Let me read a little of this from the book, because it's eye-opening when we're talking about complaint, this specific kind of complaining. He says this, "Perhaps the most sincere of all praise of God in this life is absolute faith and trust in Him, even when He seems to be an absent God, a silent God who does not seem to be near." Listen to this. This is so pure, so honest. I love it. "He seems to treat us badly. He seems unconcerned about our lot. And yet His love for us is ever steadfast." Right? And that's true. Do you ever feel that way? That, man, I know God loves me, but what is He doing? Why is He letting me suffer like this? It's okay to ask that question. Let me continue on with this. Father states that the Psalms of Lamentation always contain three elements. Number one, a strong complaint to God because seemingly He is abandoning us to our troubles. Number two, a petition to save us from these troubles. And number three, an act of wonderful trust and confidence in Him because He is the God of covenant love and faithfulness. What's really good about these Psalms, I'm going to read one today on the show, is that, as the book states, the psalmist's trust in God does not minimize the reality of his misery. You're going to read some of these Psalms where the author of the Psalm is saying, "I am suffering, I am in misery, I feel like I want to die. Where are you, God? My enemies want to kill me." You know, and doesn't minimize the fact that there is suffering. Because when we start doing that, we're not being honest. You know, we got to be honest when we talk to God. He does not want us to say, "Oh, Lord, everything's okay." You know, like we do with one another. "Hey, Gary, how you doing?" "Oh, pretty good. How about yourself?" A lot of times, we don't really unload on people. But if you have to understand, sometimes that's appropriate. You don't want to be telling everybody all the time what your problems are. You have a couple of close friends that you do that for, maybe your spouse, a sibling that you can share these things with, a parent, a child. But you don't want to be unloading on everybody because they're going to start running when they see you coming down the street. But with God, you have to be open and honest with Him. So listen to this from the book again. Though the description of His woes may sometimes give the impression, this is about the Psalms we're talking about, may sometimes give the impression that He is despairing, the mere fact that He shows them to the Lord and offers them to His love proves that He does trust. Isn't that great? Because when we pray to God in the midst of our suffering and tell Him, "Lord, I can't stand this quarantine anymore. I'm going crazy. Please make it end. I'm scared to go out. I can't go to the store. I'm afraid to be around people. I'm afraid to get too close to them. Please, Lord, people are suffering. People are being hurt financially." You know, when you complain to the Lord like that, you're not just complaining to somebody on the street about God. That's what you want to avoid doing. We don't want to be talking behind God's back about the suffering that we're going through. We want to take it, our complaint, to the guy who can do something about it. And we do that fully conscious that He might be doing this for a reason, fully accepting His will. I mean, that's what we have to do, because we pray that Lord's Prayer. Jesus told us how to pray, and in the Lord's Prayer, we pray the words, "Thy will be done." Look, if you don't like those words, I don't want to say that's tough, but that really is tough, because Jesus told us that's how we have to pray. So when we pray, we have to be willing to put our money where our mouth is. If I'm praying with "Thy will be done," I got to mean it. But that doesn't mean I can't go to God and say, "You got to give me a break, please. Please put an end to this, Lord." You're not praying to somebody who can't help you. You're praying to somebody who can help you. And therefore, it's not the same as complaining to Joe on the street corner about God. You see the difference? You're talking to Him directly. It's not going behind his back. And if you didn't have faith in him, you wouldn't be asking him for help. So these Psalms, when we read them, they're a cry for help, and it's an expression of faith. So with that in mind, I want to read a little bit from one of the Psalms. It's Psalm 74, Prayer in Time of Calamity. You might want to read over this one again. It's Psalm 74. And this comes at a time, from the notes of the version of the Psalms that I'm reading, it says, this lamentation expresses the soul of a stricken people who feel abandoned even by God. So these are the exiles or the exilees, the people who have been exiled to Babylon. They're returning home, and now they see that their sanctuary, their temple, has been profaned or destroyed. And it's upsetting to them, and they feel abandoned by God. So I want to read a little of this to you, and then we'll chat about it, okay? Psalm 74. Why, O God, have you cast us off forever? I mean, look at that, right off the bat, the very first line. Cast us off forever. This is despair. This is pure despair. This is somebody who is hurting. Not just, Lord, why have you cast us off for the time being? It's forever, you know? And look, we all feel like that sometimes, don't we? This is it. My life is over. It's never going to get better. Why are you doing this to me, Lord? Why does your anger blaze forth against the sheep of your pasture? You know, we're supposed to be your sheep, Lord. Why are you treating us like this? Again, pure, raw emotion. Written by somebody who's hurting. Remember the people that you purchased long ago? So the psalmist here is reminding God, hey, Lord, remember your people? You know, like, we're supposed to be your people, your chosen people. And it's a good thing to remind God of his promises. Sometimes he knows what they are, but it helps us because we're standing on the promises of God. And we're saying, yeah, you promised you would take care of us. The tribe that you redeemed as your own possession and Mount Zion that you chose as your dwelling. Remember those people, Lord? Direct now your steps to the endless ruins, toward the sanctuary destroyed by the enemy. Okay, God, remember, we're supposed to be your promised people. Take a look at what you allowed to happen. Your foes exalted triumphantly in the place of your assembly and set up their memorial emblems. They trashed the church. You know, we're seeing that nowadays. We're seeing that happen with statues and churches, desecration of religious places. You know, it hurts. So, you know, this is the kind of thing we take to God. They set upon it with their axes, as if it were a thicket of trees. And then with hatchets and hammers, they bludgeoned all the carved work. They set their sanctuary ablaze. I'm sorry, they set your sanctuary ablaze. Remember, this is addressed to God. They razed and defiled the dwelling place of your name. They said to themselves, we will utterly crush them. And they burned every shrine of God in the land. Now we see no signs. There are no longer any prophets. And none of us knows how long this will last. Isn't that an amazing line? And that's how we're feeling right now in the midst of this pandemic. None of us knows exactly how long this will last. If you're struggling with that, take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord and say, Lord, we're struggling. We don't know how long this will last. You know, but honestly, I'm going to tell you the answer. The answer is, that's up to him. That's really not our job. I know that's not the answer you want to hear, but I don't know. You don't know. None of us know. God only knows how long this will last. Our job is to live one day at a time. That's what Jesus told us. Now we see no signs. There are no longer any prophets. And none of us know how long this will last. Okay, I read that already. How long, O God, will the foe mock you? Will the enemy blaspheme your name forever? So see, he's shifting it and saying, Lord, they're mocking you, not just us. Why do you hold back your right hand? That's a question. That's asking God, Lord, why are you allowing this to happen? You know, you can ask that question. You might not always get an answer, but it's okay to ask that question. Take it out from your robe and destroy them. So now he's telling God what he should do. That's probably not a great idea because God knows what he's doing. We don't need to give him advice about God things, you know. Yet you, O God, are my king from of old, working deeds of salvation through the earth. So let's see, the psalmist is saying to the Lord, you mean something to me. You're my king. By your power, you split the sea in two. Look, recognizing what God did in the past. That's what we need to do sometimes. And shattered the heads of the dragons in the waters. You crushed the heads of Leviathan and gave him as food for the wild beasts. You opened up springs and torrents and turned flowing rivers into dry land. Yours is the day, yours is the night, for you set in place both sun and moon. You fixed all the boundaries of the earth and created both summer and winter. So what he's doing here is looking at the great things God has done and recognizing the great things God has done in the past. Another good idea. Remember, O Lord, how the enemy has mocked you, how a foolish people has blasphemed your name. Do not surrender the soul of your dove to wild beasts. Do not forget forever the life of your poor. Have regard for your covenant, for the land is filled with darkness, and the pastures are haunts of violence. Do not let the oppressed turn back in shame. Let the poor and needy bless your name. Rise up, O God, isn't this great, and defend your cause. Remember how fools mock you all day long. Do not ignore the outbursts of your enemies, the unceasing tumult of your foes. So this is somebody who's hurting, who is looking back, acknowledging all the good that God has done, acknowledging his power, and saying, God, please help. That can be our prayer today. If you're struggling, no matter how you feel, no matter how frustrated you are, no matter how defeated you are, turn to the Lord, complain to him. Tell him what you need. Tell him why you're hurting. Remind him what he can do. And then give him a chance to work. But be patient. That's the hard part. Be patient. Okay? Good stuff, though. So it is okay to complain to God. I give you permission to complain to God. It's going to make you feel better, too. Tomorrow on the show, I told you about this. When I used to do this program, there was a feature that I did called Imitating Christ. We're going to look at the book, The Imitation of Christ. It is a phenomenal book. It's a book that, it's by Thomas A. Kempis. It is a great book. We're going to look at it. It's going to be an ongoing series. I'll begin it tomorrow, and I'll do one every now and then. And it's going to help us to really be able to imitate Christ in our life. I hope you'll be able to tune in. That's tomorrow, Tuesday, right here on Following the Truth, as we look at how we can imitate Christ. All right, I am completely out of time. Thanks for listening. God bless you. Remember to check out my website, followingthetruth.com. We'll talk to you next time. God bless you.